Be seated.
Welcome to Calvary Chapel Rialto. If you guys can, please check your cell phones and make sure that they're on vibrate, and so that way we don't have any distractions throughout our evening tonight. And for those of you who don't know, these nights that we're having, we have them a few times a year, and you know, we're going to have another one in October, so we pray tonight that when you come out, that you would come and that you would be blessed. We call these nights our fellowship, the calling, and we pray that you would hear the Lord calling you, that you would, God would speak to your heart, that you'd have your heart prepared for that tonight, and that God would be able to speak to you. And if you're visiting our church, that you'd be able to take whatever you learn here, as you've been sharpened tonight by God's word, that you would go back to your church and minister to the men there, encourage them to be involved. We have things going on here for the men to keep us going, to help us, to keep us from some of the distractions in the world. This, not tomorrow, a week from tomorrow, the second Saturday every month, we have our men's daybreak breakfast. And that'll be at second Saturday every month at 8 o'clock in the morning. And also, too, our men's summer study is going to be starting up in July 18th. But tonight we have a very special guest with us tonight, Pastor Raul Reese from Calvary Chapel Golden Springs. So please welcome him.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm just a horse. Do we have here tonight any veterans, Vietnam, Iraq? Where do you guys stand? We want to thank you for your service too. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Awesome, you guys. Thank you. That's so cool. Always like to thank, you know, America's really changing and we never need to change, especially what we believe in our young men in Iraq and Afghanistan that are still there in Afghanistan. We need to really pray for them. And we need to pray for our nation. You know, one of the things about our nation, not only going down, but the church is going down too. And you guys, as men, we need to understand that as men, we have a great responsibility, not only to know God, but that our family may come to know God in a special way, especially your children. They will only follow by example. And this is one of the areas that I want to talk to you tonight on something real important, and that is paying the price for discipleship. We hear so many times say, "Well, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ." Are you sure? Are you sure you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? I think that this is an area today that is lacking in the church. People are not willing to pay the price. To pay the price. You know, when I was in the military, at the age of 18, I went in the Marine Corps. And I volunteered. And the reason, like today, they're volunteering too. And one of the things that when I volunteered, I knew that I was going to go to war. I knew that one day I would end up in Vietnam. And sure enough, when I graduated from Marine Corps boot camp, went to train at Camp Pendleton, and then we got shipped out on the U.S. Gaffey and went over to Vietnam. And I'll never forget all the guys that I met there. And all that became dear to my heart, knowing that not only we had become American and we're fighting for our country, but there was dedication and there was discipline and there was obedience. Same thing with discipleship. You know, when you're a soldier or you're a Marine, Air Force, whatever it is, you're willing to die for serving your country. Think about that. We not only want to be an example, but I thought as I was reading the text, it's so important that not only the price has to be paid, but the price is very great. Dying to self. Dying to self. When I look at the church that travel all over the country, it's amazing that the men are supposed to be the leaders of their homes. And there is more divorce today than there has ever been, as much as the world has divorced today. Maybe you're separated right now. Maybe you've already been divorced. And maybe you're thinking about getting married. You better think about it twice. Are you willing to die to yourself and become a real husband? And if you don't get married, are you willing to become a real trooper for Jesus Christ? Discipline. Obedience. You have to count the cost tremendously. Let's read the text. Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. He says, "Now great multitudes went unto him, with him, Jesus, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters, yes, and even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him." Isn't that what the world is doing today with the church? Mocking us because we're not really walking with God. We're not really being obedient to God. We're not really disciplined for God. And he goes on to say this. He says again, verse 30. He says, saying that this man began to build his house, but he was able to finish. Then he said, "Or what king goes out to make war against another king and does not sit down first and consider that he's able to, or 10,000 to meet him who comes against him, or 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." I mean, how much clearer do we have to have it in the scriptures? I mean, he's talking about denying ourselves, dying to ourselves. If you love your mother, your father, your brother, sister, you know, whoever it is, more than me, you're not worthy of me. When he uses the word hate, it's not really hating the way we know hate. He's really saying, if I'm not number one, you see, if Christ is going to be number one in my life, then my wife, my children, everything else becomes secondary. But again, with God, I love him first, my family, and then whoever else comes along, they get the love of Jesus Christ in their hearts. I just counsel so many people, so many men, that not only, you know, have accepted Christ in their lives, but how they turn so quickly when it comes to really loving, serving, and being obedient and having integrity in our lives. And I'm talking to myself too. The reason I say that is because in the ministry, I've been now, say, for 40 years, and, you know, I've seen, I'm in Calvary Chapel's ministry and looking at the leadership of Calvary Chapel, that as we have board meetings with Pastor Chuck Smith, it's always depressing, especially when you're at a conference like next week. We'll be at a conference, the yearly conference. And to hear who's not going to be there this year because they got disqualified because of sin. Sin is such a dirty thing in the life of the believer. Missing the mark. Transgression, willfully sinning against God, knowing the truth, and yet going against the truth of God. I think that especially the days we're living in, we need to be very careful. We can't be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees were hypocrites. Hypocrites. They said, they didn't do. I think the church somehow is like that today. We want to share Christ with people, but how can we share Christ with people when we ourselves cannot live the Christian life? The way of the cross. The way of the cross is death. And death has to come in our own personal lives. Nobody can force you to die. You have to choose that in your own personal life. That as you come to Jesus Christ and you give him all your life, all your heart. See, when I came to Christ, I didn't really want to go back to the world. The world stung. The world destroyed me. And the world, Satan, and the world, and the flesh are the three things that if we're not careful, one of those things, as you get caught up with it, because Satan has come to rob and to kill. And then look at the world today, all of the things they offer to people. We have so many distractions with TV, computers, movies, exercising, all these things that we can do today and be distracted from Jesus Christ. And then talking to men tonight. Think of how many men, and even here tonight, are having a problem with pornography. That's a big issue. A big issue in the church. And it's really important that we understand that pornography will destroy you. It'll destroy your marriage. It will destroy you personally. Unless you deny yourself, unless you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, He cannot help you. He cannot help you. You see, people are expecting to be helped, but yet they don't want to obey what God says. And we need to be obedient. It says in the scripture, it is better to obey than to sacrifice. Don't make sacrifices. Be obedient to the word of God. The Lord loves you. The love cares for you. The love wants, you know, God wants to use your lives. And I think it's important that as men in your own church, if you fellowship it, wherever you fellowship, that it's not just coming to the men's fellowship or just coming on Sunday mornings. But being committed to your family is watching you as an elder of the home. That if you don't come to church on Sunday mornings, then how are your kids ever going to learn about the Lord? Or if you come, are you going home and practicing to what you're listening to? Otherwise, your children will never respect you. They won't respect you. That's why Jesus made it so tough. If it says, if anybody wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Forget yourself. Take up the cross, the instrument of death. And then follow me. Follow me. And that's an important word. To follow Jesus Christ. You see, the influence of the crowd may turn to be not only just an exciting time. Anybody can follow a crowd. But how many in the crowd truly are willing to not only proclaim their faith, but never, never to compromise when you're in the crowd? Never to compromise. Because the devil wants you to compromise. He wants you to fail. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, notice He was teaching His disciples to love even their enemies. Caring for the needs of other people was a major, major part of practicing and teaching and becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, fully and completely. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 5:44. He says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you." 42 says, "Give to him who's asking you, from him who wants to borrow, from him do not turn." And here he's talking about money, but think about this. The heart that we're supposed to have with other people, especially in the body of Jesus Christ. When the Lord makes that call in your life, when you came to know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you got on fire for the Lord. And then something happens over a period of maybe months and years. And I know so many people that started well, but they won't finish well. You want to make sure you want to finish well. You don't want to finish ending up in the shelf. Not truly knowing God or being used by God. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions. Number one, are you really a disciple of Jesus Christ? Secondly, have you truly counted the cost to be a learner, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to follow Him? And listen, thirdly, are you willing to die to self? That is the hardest thing to do. That is the hardest thing to do. If you answer yes, know this, that is going to cost you your life fully, completely. Because true discipleship is such a wholehearted devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that all other natural loves, notice, as hatred in comparison to love. Love is the greatest, Jesus said. Love is the greatest. We need to love the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our being. And when you fall in love with Jesus, then what could go wrong? Think about it. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said. Obeying the things that God has given in his word. In Matthew 16:24, he says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And then he says this, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For his soul. It's amazing how athletes, movie stars, and all kinds of different people sell their souls to say to become popular and great, great in front of the people's eyes. If people do that in the world, how much more the church needs to be totally committed, sold out, by living a life of obedience and death to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To bear the cross, it says, he says, has popularity come to mean the carrying of a burden. But although a cross is a burden to so many people, it was the instrument of death. The instrument of death. To bear the cross means to die to self and to self-interest. Those things that we love so much and take us away from Jesus Christ. Self-denial also was at the very heart of the Lord's teaching and the disciples. Remember that Jesus, John the Baptist, and Peter and Paul, the first preaching they gave, the first word was what? Repent. Repent. That's how we came to Christ. The church of Ephesus, being the first church in the book of Revelation, they were going through all the works. There was nothing wrong with their works, but there was one problem. They had left their first love. Christ was not number one in their lives any longer. And the Lord calls that church, in almost every church except for Sardis, except for the suffering church, he says, repent and return. Repent and return. If not, I will have to move myself away from here. Think of all the men you know and you have known that today are not walking with Jesus Christ. Something took him away from the Lord. He started out well, but they haven't finished well. And yet the major future of a disciple of Jesus Christ is not only to be a poser. It's to be a follower, not of men, but of Jesus Christ. Because when you truly surrender to Jesus Christ, everything goes. You align yourself with God's purposes. And you pray according to your will, God, I don't want to do anything that is going to offend you or that is going to move me from the rock, Jesus Christ. I want to make sure I am glued to Jesus Christ. Totally surrender, totally walking with God. And yet many people only come to Jesus Christ to get something out of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they don't want to submit. There's a lot of people in our church, well, his church, that they come to church. I watch it from my window. I can see them coming in. And as they're parking their cars, many of them are arguing. And you can tell they're angry. And as they come through the doors, they start smiling. And they got their kids. Imagine what their kids are thinking when they go to church, they go to Sunday school, and they get taught about God's love and God's grace and God's mercy, and then you finish church, you get in your car, and you start arguing and fighting right in front of them when you've been in the house of the Lord. And then you go home, and it gets worse. Men, you are supposed to be the leaders of your homes. You're supposed to be the ones that pray with your family. You're the ones that are supposed to read the Word of God to them. Why? Because you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Many times as men, we think we're so busy going to work, but you know what? We're not too busy to sit down and watch a football game. basketball game, baseball game, go to the gym. All those things, Paul said, physical fitness is great, but it's more important than spiritual. To grow in God's grace and God's love and God's mercies. To be able to make a stand on the rock, Jesus Christ. So when the trials of life come, when disaster comes, like he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, two houses, one built on the sand, the other one on the rock. Which is your foundation here tonight? If you build on the sand, your house is going to be swept away. When the rains come and the winds, when trials of life come, problems come, your house will never stand. But when trials and temptations and all these things come to the child of God and you build your house on the rock, when the floods come and the wind begin to beat, guess what happens? It stands. And who's the rock? Jesus. He's the rock. And so it's important what Jesus is saying here to the crowd. In Luke 9:23, he says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him again deny himself." And when he says this, take it up your cross. Take it. Pick it up. Don't just say, "I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ." Or don't just wear a cross. Remember Madonna? She wore a cross upside down years ago. This is the cross of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that wear crosses, but what does that mean? If you really don't have Christ in your heart, then you should never put a cross on your neck. Because the cross speaks of denial, death. Denial and death. And so for me, it's really important for me personally. Not only to know him intimately, but to know the requirements of discipleship. Salvation is the free gift of God. And then as I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, then the willingness for me, not only to know him, but to grow in him by reading the Word of God, attending services, getting involved. I was shocked in our church. It's a Calvary Chapel. One Sunday morning, I said, "How many of you have ever read through the whole Bible?" I could not believe, maybe 2%. 2%. 2%. I said, "How many of you have ever read the Old Testament all the way through?" Very few. And we go through the Bible. "How many of you have read the New Testament?" Again, very few people. And I said, "How many of you read the Bible once in a while?" And a lot of people raise their hands, the majority of the church. Listen, if you don't read the Bible, if you don't eat, what happens to you? You'll start with death. If you don't read the Bible, you have no sword to fight against the enemy. I love having my sword. You know why? Because I know how to use a sword. But if you don't know how to use a sword, then it's of no value. No value. You need to have in your life the sword of God to carry it. To put on the whole armor of God. So you can really say, "I am a disciple of Jesus Christ and I put on the armor of God so that when I go to the world, I can defend myself." Another thing I told the whole body of Christ about discipleship. You get up in the morning, take a shower. That's if you take a shower. And you brush your teeth. Again, if you do brush your teeth. And then you get dressed. You have a cup of coffee. You eat your breakfast. And then you're gone. When you go out that morning to the world and you haven't read and you haven't prayed, what's going to happen to you spiritually? When the battles of life come that day, you have no defense. You have no defense. And then you're going to murmur and you're going to blame God. No, blame yourself. Because we are the temple of the living God. God dwells in us. He lives in us. And as I read the Word of God, I'm feeding myself so I can develop, grow, become mature in Jesus Christ. There's so many Christians, and I'm going to use the term retarded in the church. Retarded. They haven't grown. They're still wearing diapers. They're still going poopy in their diapers. They don't know how to go to the bathroom. You know why? Because they don't know God when it comes to the Word of God. So important that as men, We need to understand who we are and who Christ Jesus is in our lives. Let me give you some things about discipleship. Number one, a disciple, again, takes up his cross. Takes up his cross. Remember when Abraham and his son Isaac, they were going up to Mount Moriah. Before that, in chapter 22 of Genesis, you know, the Lord came to Abraham and said, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to take your son and go up to Mount Moriah, a three-day journey." He says he was tempted. He never talked to his wife. He got up in the morning, saddled his donkeys, got his servants and his son. They took the wood, they took the knife, and they went up a three-day journey. When they got to Mount Moriah, he told the actual servants, "You guys stay here, but me and the lad, we're going to come back again." He had faith. He'd come back again. He got not only his son, and the son got the wood, and he carried up to Mount Moriah. When they got up to Mount Moriah, his son said, "Hey, Father, you know, here is the altar. Here I am. Here you are. But where is the sacrifice?" And then in verse 8 he says this, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." Speaking of 2,000 years later, Jesus dying in that same place. You know what blew me away? 3-day journey speaks of the resurrection. Abraham's the type of the Father. Isaac the type of the Son. Eliezer the servant becomes the type of the Holy Spirit looking for a wife in chapter 24. So when you go through the scriptures, there are pictures, types, that can help us not only to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Listen, Abraham denied himself to the point of dying to himself and to the point of sacrificing his own dear son, just like the Father did with Jesus. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? "Father, not my will, but your will be done." My son Ryan came back to the Lord after 19 years of drugs. Every drug you could imagine. I never took drugs. I never drank. My was violence. My other two kids never took drugs. He's my youngest. Every single Saturday night before Sunday morning, man, I'd go out to the streets to look for him because I thought he was going to die. And then I would have to get in the pulpit and talk about God's love. And you know how hard it is for someone you love to see them destroy their lives. 19 years. The last time, 5.5 years ago, he works for my son. He was in the industry of snowboards, you know, all the clothing, all that stuff, skateboards. And he was a team rider. He took all the teams all over the world. He was in Russia. And in Russia, one of the skateboarders in the hotel room started screaming. So my son went out of his room, and a Russian had a knife around his throat, was going to cut his throat. And my son came out and started talking to this Russian, and the Russian let go of this one skateboarder, and he tried to cut my son and stab him in the heart. And my son blocked him and cut his arm, bleeding profoundly. He went into the room, locked the door, this guy left. And he had a whole big scar there. And, you know, if he would have died, he would have gone to hell. The life he was living. God spared his life. The last time he went down to Central America, he was down in Panama City. And they were in the hotel, partying. One of the skateboarders called my wife and I say, "Your son's going to die here this week for sure. For sure." Me and my wife dropped to our knees, man. We started praying. Praying that God would spare his life. The next day, well, that night, when he went up to his hotel room, something told him, a small voice told him to open the drawer. He opens the drawer and there's a Gideon Bible there. He opens the Bible, he reads it for a while, puts it back in the drawer, goes to sleep, gets up the next morning, they pack up and they're going. They get to the airport. And the team sits on one side of the airplane. He sits all alone on the other side. And for 8 hours, he read the Bible. Put away the Bible, got to L.A., called me, says, "I want to come and see you next week or next day so that we can look for a rehab that I can go." I said, "Come." He comes the next day, and I share with him and give him a Bible because he had that Bible from Gideon. So I give him a full Bible. And then we went to the bookstore, and he saw, you know, Head from that group that he has. He saw the picture of Head in his book, his testimony. He picked it up. He started reading it. And then I said, why don't you sit here in this office and listen to Chuck go through his whole Bible? Did you know that in a week, as he started reading and listening to Chuck, he was healed instantly? Never had to go to rehab. It's been 5.5 years. But check this out. When we went to Israel that year, he invited Sonny from POD. They came. And we went to Israel, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, if you've ever been to Israel, we walked into the Garden of Gethsemane, and I have a picture of my son. He's sitting down there, not only rededicating his life, but he's weeping and crying, saying, Lord, thank you for accepting me and for calling me. Never thought he'd have a ministry. And the Lord gave him the ministry called Whosoever's. Kids just like him. Just like him. And you see, maybe you're here tonight, and you've been struggling with drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever it is. You'll never, ever be able to worship, you know, God is in spirit and in truth. Until you surrender. Until you submit. Fully, completely to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because God is calling each one of us not only to take up our cross, but to count the cost. The cost that has been given to each one of us individually. In Luke again 14:28, he says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first, count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Have you counted the cost? When I built my house, you know, I had to, you know, not only look if I had enough money to build it. And as we started building the house, you know, the foundation, the walls, the roof, the windows, every part of that house had to be, you know, put together or built. Think of how many people today, they start building a house and they don't have enough money to finish it. Guess what it is? It's a shame to your neighborhood, to your family, and you're embarrassed and shamed. And that's exactly the same way when you come to Jesus Christ and you don't have enough to finish the race. People won't believe you. They won't believe you. We need to make a stand and stay faithful to the Lord as He is faithful to us. Thirdly, we need to abide in Jesus Christ. Abiding, dwelling, staying with Him. In John 15:4, He said that. He says in verse 6 of John 15, if anyone does not abide in me, then he's cast out as a branch that is withered, and they gather them and they throw them into the fire. They are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you want to desire and it shall be done for you. But this my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. A disciple of Jesus Christ cannot be fruitless. You have to have fruit. And that fruit comes through surrender, counting the cost, and being obedient in having integrity in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God. Disciple needs to walk even as his master walks. As his master walks. 1 John 3:3 says, and everyone who has this hope in Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Jesus Christ does not make a practice of sin. Whoever sins, notice, has neither seen him nor knows him. Nor knows him. People are watching us. We are salt, we are light. In a world that is so dark today. So dark. And by the way, a real disciple of Jesus Christ, again, brings fruit. Fruit that is lasting. Fruit that is lasting in the kingdom of God. And remember what he says in John 14:15, if you really love me, obey my commandments. Two commandments. To love the Lord and to love your neighbor as yourself. Number one, loving God with everything, with all your being. All your being, you guys. It's not easy. But it is beneficial to each one of us individually. Another thing about a disciple of Jesus Christ is not only does he love Jesus Christ fully and completely, but he continues to be in God's word so that he can develop and he can grow. And he come against Satan by saying it is written in the word of God. If you don't know the word of God, who can you share with? What can you say to people? It's not about emotionalism. It's about faith. Having faith in Christ, growing in our faith. Not only just believing in him, but believing God's word is stretching our borders so that we can become fruitful. And we can become not only fruitful, but we can put up our guard against the wiles of the enemy. And we can fight the fight, always going forward, never standing still, and never turning our backs, going backwards. You don't do that. We don't do that against the enemy. And then how about a disciple not only continuing the word of God, but a disciple that forsakes everything for Jesus Christ? Have you forsaken all? All. Many times when I got saved, I remember, you know, being in martial arts now for 44 years. When I got saved, I was in my Kung Fu studio. And when the Lord saved me, the first thing I said, man, I don't want to get rid of my Kung Fu studio. Shoot, I love it. That's my business. And you know what? You know what God did? He took away my business. Just like that. And I'm not exaggerating. To the point where I was making a lot of money, where people were bringing grocery to my doorstep and leaving it there. I was humbled. I did not know that God was working in my life and that God, like Pastor Chuck, was teaching me to live by faith, real faith. And you know what? Through those trials and those times, the Lord not only taught me when Ryan was going to be born, we only had $400. At that time, it was $800 to have a baby. My wife and I prayed, and this is no lie, we prayed, and someone left $400 in our mailbox. When I became a pastor, the Lord gave me back my Kung Fu. I've been teaching now for 44 years. And you know what blew me away? That when we started in the Kung Fu Studio Bible Studies, and we outgrew that, we went to the Fox Theater. A year in the Fox Theater, we grew, and then we went from there to the Safeway store. I was talking to a lot of people that have been in West Covina. From there, we were there 12 years. We bought that place by faith. They wanted $250,000 at that time. We had $10 in the bank. $10 we gave to them. And then somebody gave us $1,500, so we went to the mountains to pray because we needed $5,000 for down payment. And I'm not stretching it. In my Kung Fu studio, somebody threw an envelope in for $3,500, which made $5,000 to put down on the Safeway. We paid off the Safeway within 5 years. 5 years. And then the biggest step of faith came in 1990. Rich from the In-N-Out, the owner that got killed, told us about a building in Diamond Bar. A building is probably about 120,000 square foot. There's no possible way we could ever buy it. They wanted $22 million. We only had $1.4 million when we sold West Covina. Every single day we went to that building and we prayed. We prayed and we prayed. And finally the door opened the door. Pastor Chuck gave us $2.5 million for the $1.5 to get in as a down payment. Our payment was $150,000 a month. A month. And you know what? Within 3 years, we paid back Chuck his money. We didn't have a lot of money, but we were making that payment every month. We didn't take salaries for, I think, 3 years. 3 years. And the city didn't want us there. So we took about 1,000 people, and they finally gave us our permits, and we got in. But when we got in, we had 28 acres. On the other side, we had these 12 acres that we could never build. It was commercial. Big taxes on it. 16 years later, we owed $16.5 million. 16.5. Every time a payment. All of a sudden, one day, the owner of Lewis Homes, they own all this property, they're Jewish, and I knew him for a long time. They came to us and they said, hey, listen, do you want to sell your property? We know you can build nothing on 12 acres of land. I said, yeah, we sure want to. I mean, how much you want to give us? It was at a time when realty was high. They gave me $15 million with a handshake. I took that money and I paid down the debt to $2.5 million. I'm not exaggerating. Another person came and gave me $2.5 million. I don't even know who they were. Today our debt is only $450,000. Where God leads, He provides. And to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you really truly have to believe in everything in our lives, because God loves you more than you love Him, that He will be there not only to provide your needs, but He will lead you and guide you in every area. Why? Because of humility. Being humble, you guys. Being humble. Another situation, you know, after being in Vietnam and, you know, not ever going back, a lady, I was in Las Vegas having a men's conference. And this lady kept following me around. I don't know why. You know, I saw a fight. I said, can I help you? She said, well, can I talk to you? I said, sure. She said, I watched your first documentary called Quiet Hope with seven of us Vietnam veterans. He says, my husband left me completely. I watched it and it really spoke to me. And it spoke to me about veterans. She said, have you ever thought to ever do another documentary? I said, well, sure. I said, but where God leads, He provides. She said, how much do you think it would take to make a documentary right now at this time? I said, probably about $300,000. He says, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. I said, okay. She came back the next day. And she said, I'm going to give you a check so you can make Taking the Hill. She gave me a check for $1 million. $1 million. You know what blew me away? Before I got that check, she gave it to me and she held on to it for a purpose. I'm just kidding you. She held it. She says, I want you to know that Satan is going to come after you. Satan's up there every single day. I know that. 3 weeks later, when I was planning to go back to Vietnam on a Wednesday night teaching the book of Hebrews chapter 3, I go to my house, turn up the engine, from my navel to my throat to my brain, I have this flashback and I'm back in Vietnam. I'm running down the street of my neighborhood. My neighbors are flipping out. They think I've lost my mind. I call my wife. She comes home. I'm in my office on the floor just weeping and crying. I've never been depressed in my life. I'm depressed for 3 weeks. I've called Pastor Chuck and Chuck prays for me. And I can't get out of this. I'm fearful my wife has to sleep holding my hand. I've never done that. And then all of a sudden, I get okay, but I go back to Vietnam. And I have to go back to this place where I lost 41 guys. And it was so hard for me to film that documentary. When I came back, and we finished the documentary. And you know what happened to me? I started having these seizures. Not passing out. From my navel to my throat to my brain, the left side of my brain where I'm teaching. And then all of a sudden, I can't speak. And I can't think. So I have to wait 30, 40, 50 seconds. And then I'll come back and I have to wait so my brain gets, you know, right in the right place. And I've been having that for 4.5 years. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why would you allow this in my life when I've served you all of my life, 40 years? You know what Jesus told me? My grace is sufficient for you. Like Paul, a thorn in the side, Lord, I'll take it. Whatever you want, Lord God. But Lord, don't ever let me ever curse you. I know that Satan hates me and hates you guys here. And whatever infirmity, whatever you're going through financially, whatever it is, remember, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if God is for us, then who can be against us, you guys? Who can be against you? Are you trusting in the arm of flesh? You'll be disappointed. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to trust in the Lord and walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many of you here tonight are hooked to sin. Hooked to sin, you can't get out of it. Lying, cheating, pornography, I mean, whatever it is, selfishness, hatred, whatever it is, there is only one person that can bail you out, and that's Jesus Christ. But you have to surrender. You have to become like a little child so that God can work in your life and can work through your life. If not, you can walk out of here tonight just the same way you came. No transformation, no change. And if you're married, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, the requirement is what? Love your wives. Love your children. Be the head of your home. Be the spiritual leader. Do devotions with your wife and your children. It doesn't have to be an hour, 2 hours. It's like I tell people, you know, you go home and you watch TV. You come to church three times. If you're lucky, some come one time. An hour and a half, you know, 4 or 5 hours a week. And then count, when I was in seminary, one of our professors said, he says, why don't you guys take 7 pieces of paper, okay? And take it home, and I want you to write every single day for 7 days, half hour, an hour, when you get up in the morning, till the night you go to bed, write down everything that you do. By the end of the week, you will know who your God is. You will know what dominates your life. Who is your Lord? If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, the majority of your time should be what? With the Lord. Every day. Get up, spend time with Him. When we walk throughout the day with Him, lunchtime you can be with Him. When you get home, you'll be with Him. While you sleep, you'll be with Him. Think of how many of us, when we go to bed, do you have to say, okay, I got to be careful because I have to breathe in the morning. We don't even do that. There are people in hospitals that are controlled by machines. How do you know that tonight will be your last night? And if you're not right with Jesus Christ, will it be a shame when you stand before the Lord? Or are you going to be bold when you hear the words, my good and faithful servant, come in. Look what I prepared to you, my real disciple of Jesus Christ. You and I are disciples of Jesus Christ. And if we don't stick to the word disciple, and if we don't really become not only learners, but doers of God's word, and I'll tell you this, when you leave here tonight, Satan is going to come after you. He's going to try you. But remember this, when we are tried, we are what? We are not only faithful to Him, Jesus, but He is faithful to us. He will rescue us. Why? Because He loves you more than you love Him. Don't let Satan, man, take you down. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The less I think about sin, I don't have a lot of time to talk about sin. I'd rather talk about Jesus more than anything else. Because Jesus is the greatest. The one that keeps us and watches over us, and the one day is going to come for His church. And if the church is becoming so technological, where I see a lot of things going on in church, where people are not coming to church because they'd rather be in the internet watching, it's not the same as coming and fellowshipping in the church. We're breaking fellowship with God. It's important, no matter how technological we get, don't ever leave the house of the Lord. Don't ever do that. Bring your family. And if you're single, bring yourself. And if you're single, don't be looking for a wife. Even like Adam and Eve, the Lord will bring you a wife, and it will be a wife that He wants you to have that is going to love the Lord. And if not, I pray that she'll be so mean to you, and she'll be ugly, so you'll hate her. I just really pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will speak to each one of us, you guys. I want to pray for you. And I want you guys to pray. Don't pray if you don't mean it. But if you really mean it, I'm going to ask you, first of all, whoever is here tonight, and I'm not going to have you like little babies by your knees, you know, or close your eyes. You're a real man. And you don't know Christ. You're here. Stand up. Come up here to the front. I want to pray with you, whoever you are. If there's anybody here that's a visitor, somebody brought you here, man, you can leave the same way you go. We're not going to force you. We're not going to lock the doors. If you came here tonight without Christ, thank you. You get up and you come. That's why we're here tonight. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Awesome. Anybody else? You can just get up and come with just with this guy here. Anybody else? I know that some of you just got to get up. That's what makes you a real man before God. Thank you so much. Come. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, guys. That's cool. Awesome. Awesome, guys. Just come, you guys. Awesome. When I came to Christ, it was in my home. I walked up to the TV and Chuck Smith was preaching. I was going to shoot the TV, but I couldn't shoot him. He was smiling real big. And then he gave the message, and boy, the message plugged me. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Anybody else? Come. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you if you come, honestly. Awesome. Cool. Let's come. Awesome. That's cool. Anybody else? You know who you are. You know what you've gone through. You know who you are again. And you know what? He wants to give you eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. Which nobody can give you that. Nobody can give you, only Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to give you everlasting life. I'm going to pray with these guys. Anybody else before I close? Anybody else? I know there's more people here, but if you don't want to do it, that's fine with you. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to pray with all you guys here, okay? Pray with me out loud. Repeat after me this prayer. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood. And I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit and with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you guys a Bible. See that guy back there? You guys turn around and go to the back. See that guy's back there? Go ahead, you guys. All the way back. Awesome. Go right back there. Awesome. That's cool. Awesome, awesome. Let me pray for all you guys here. Whatever your problem may be, whatever you're going through, and if you want God just to touch your life, you want to stand right now, and we're going to pray for you. We'll lay hands on each other, okay? Just stand and lay hands on these guys that stand, you guys. Let's pray for these people. Lord, we thank you so much for these men. Lord, you know their problem situations. Lord, we pray that tonight as we leave here, we would have victory, Lord. Lord, that you touch physically, emotionally, spiritually, Lord God. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor for being here with us tonight, Jesus. Lord, we ask you now that you baptize all of us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray these things, Lord God. And everybody said, amen. Thank you so much for inviting me, Pastor. Awesome.